Welcome to the Missourinet Press Pass. My name is Darren Jobe. With me, Steve Walsh, Bob Pretty, Brent Martin.
That's us.
Yay.
Everybody's happy to be a Mizzou Tiger right now.
That's for sure.
Great game.
And I will just one, before you talk too much about Missouri, I would talk about my alma mater. Central Missouri did make the Final Four.
Lost their game,
but played a good game, but got back to the Final Four. So,
congratulations.
Just a shout out to the Mules. Did you like that?
Go Mules.
That's good. You know, I've always been fascinated with a sports team that would, a university that would name as its sports team an animal which is incapable of procreating.
And that's fascinating
because it just seems
a lot of people say that it fits me well.
It does.
I'm a mule.
Then we are all fortunate. Anyway.
Yeah, I would. I printed out a couple of stories that you all contributed over the past week.
Yeah.
I figure I'll start with Brent.
Okay.
Brent.
Yes, Darren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can the rest of us listen?
Yes. Okay. And chime in whenever you like. The Democrats and the Republicans traded accusations in the budget.
And we were talking about this in the newsroom. Both Bob and Steve cover the Senate, and they make fun of my chamber all the time.
Well,
the House is 163 members. It's more partisan. It's more unruly. It's
rancorous.
It's kind of the elementary school of the legislature.
which is why I preside over it. but there were a couple of things that really sparked some true partisan acrimony in the House, and that was the Republicans' rejection of two proposals, basically, by the governor. One would have taken taxes on Missouri hospitals, draw down money from the federal government, and expand Medicaid to cover 35,000 more Missourians.
Mm-hmm.
That's still going to be alive when it goes over into the Senate. The Senate will consider it. It'll get a much more favorable reception in the Senate than it did in the House. For some reason, the Republicans in the House don't like it. They think it's an expansion of the welfare state, and they have opposed it, even though it would not cost the state any money. All the money would come from this tax made on hospitals. One more ironic note, that tax first was implemented in 1992 when John Ashcroft, well-known conservative Republican, was governor. So that was part of it. The other one was opposition from Republicans of an expansion of the S-CHIP. It's called S-CHIP, but it's a child health insurance coverage. And they wanted to expand S-CHIP. And Republicans were opposed to that. I guess the other thing, and that one's a little bit more problematic as far as state resources. The other thing is the whole issue of what do you do with federal stimulus money. And one interesting note on the budget, and we'll have some stories about this, Brownfield Farm Network will as well, and that is the House has taken $9.3 million from a fund that would pay for incentives for ethanol plants and has dispersed that at various places. $5 million went to mental health. I think $2 million went to school bus transportation, another $2 million to tourism. They hope to use the federal stimulus money to pay off the incentives, use it that way, and get their obligations out of the way, and then they can fund these other programs rather than cutting them. So that was a fairly big thing in there. But, the partisan rancor, that's what makes my job fun. They shout accusations back, and they get pretty harsh.
Yeah,
we actually had
cheap political stunts, I believe, is
right.
We had
the minority leader say that one of the things they were doing was a cheap political stunt. Then we had the majority leader say that he was the king of cheap political stunts. And the interesting part was House Speaker Ron Richard, the new speaker, gaveled them and said, "That's it. Nobody's going to accuse anybody of cheap political stunts." So they changed up the wording and accused him of other things. But they did. I would say Richards gaveled him on that. And there was one other interesting thing that when they were debating over this motion, that they debated over a motion for an hour, and it really wasn't on the motion. It was actually on the substance. They're supposed to actually debate on the motion, and they didn't. Two Republicans just went off and talked about different things. When a Democrat came up and was talking off of this motion on something else, a Republican raised a point of order and said, she's not talking on the Richard overruled the Republican and allowed the Democrat to continue with what they're saying. Huh. And I think that was an interesting ruling, and it'll be interesting to see how this speaker handles things. But he basically, his ruling was, hey, nobody right now is talking on the motion. Everybody's talking on, so I'm not going to restrict her either. Got just a couple things from the House debate.
Bob, the budget debate now goes to the Senate. Tell me what you've been covering.
Well, what I've been covering is this last week. I cover the mornings in the Senate. And Steve covers the afternoons, and sometimes the afternoons go until 2:30 in the morning. So Steve has some.
Just to add one thing. It takes two people to cover the Senate with 34 members. One guy can cover all 163 of the House.
That's
I just
one
want
of
to...
us is old.
Well, you're I'm here all the time. So
the morning. Well, no, just... Martin gets to sleep until 9 or 10 or whatever it is. The budget comes over to the Senate. Where we do not play games of my cheap political trick is bigger than your cheap political trick. But the Senate has been working on a number of things this week. It did some work on an education bill that wound up with, what'd you say, Steve, 37 amendments offered on it. Not all of them were adopted.
Amendments, quite a few.
Yeah, that was the one that kept you up all night.
Yes, it was.
And I've been through a few of those. And in fact, there have been times when I've had to leave the Senate while it's in debate. And come out here to do my morning newscast, and I'm sitting here listening to the Senate line when the Senate finally adjourns for the day. So I've been through a lot of these. But they worked on education. We worked on a transportation bill that included a speed trap provision. We worked on.
I saw that speed trap thing.
We really still haven't resolved the economic development, the quality jobs bill.
Oh, yeah, that's still.
Well, that's another one that went off of. They will bring it back, though, in the coming week. Yeah. That will be coming back, and that is expected to take, if not one full day of the. Maybe more than a couple, maybe up to a couple or two or three days.
They keep changing the bill. They keep coming in with new substitutes of the bill. It kind of brings in some of the amendments that people offer in hopes that they can. Shorten the debate a little bit, but there's still a lot of questions about tax credits that are out there that I don't know if they've been able to resolve them.
You know, tax credits do seem to be a big issue. And what's interesting, I did a blog piece on this, the strange bedfellows, is that you have a couple of Jeff Smith of St. Louis, who is a senator who is described as a liberal Democrat, and he is on the side of the tax credits because it's good for the historic preservation tax credit, which he likes for his district.
Which is very historic.
Yes, and then you take a conservative like a Matt Bartle, a Republican from Lee's Summit, mm-hmm. who is – he wants them done away with. He says tax credits are bad. So here's a Republican who is opposed to tax credits for business and a Democrat who thinks it's a good idea.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting how
– it's almost like there's no principled stand there. It's almost –
Of course, you can argue if you're representing the folks in your district, that's all that really matters, and that's what they would argue. Jeff Smith would argue, I'm representing folks who want to move into the city of St. Louis and refurbish old buildings. And,
is that too harsh? Brent just gave me a face like, whoa.
No, wait. I'm just surprised that you think that they stand on principle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're
I mean, there's always a mixture, but they represent their constituencies, what they think, and like Bob, I think it was Bob was pointing out that he has a lot of historic homes and they've used it. And
well, we've never used it, but I know a lot of historic homes that people have used it on. Yeah.
No, I meant to Jeff Smith and Jeff Smith's district.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Smith's district. Yeah.
They're using it. So he thinks that's a good idea. And it's funny because Matt Bartle during the debate said he'd rather spend the money on child care and sending young people to college. To which Jeff Smith responded, when have you voted in favor of any legislation that would provide child care or to send young people to college? I said, well, that's not the point. Well, actually, it might be. See, it's a red herring they toss out. When they're debating, this is the whole thing. They'll debate anything. They'll take any position which is convenient at the time. Not that I would accuse anyone of doing that overtly, but certainly covertly, that might be something that's happening.
Huh. Well, I don't know if you just mentioned that this speed trap under attack.
Yeah.
For some reason, that bugs me. And give me a little history.
You like speed traps?
If people are speeding in an area, then it's well within the police force's jurisdiction to pull them over and issue tickets. I don't understand why our state legislature is trying to prevent Forestell or Max Creek.
Here's the deal with Forestell. Forestell had 350 people. Mm-hmm. Of those 350 people, 15 are cops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you really need 15 police to maintain order in a town, a village of 350?
It's, no? Okay. It's an important next, I-70 thoroughfare.
Next question. These 300.
Now, we could use some under attack here.
These 15 police, of which seven are only part time, in 2006 wrote 3,200 tickets.
Yep.
That's almost 10 tickets for every person who lives in that town.
Yep.
They raised $285,000. Are you going to tell me that a community of 350 people needs $285,000?
Bob, that's called job security.
That's called job security. That's true. That's true. So it's not that the legislature is saying, "Oh no, we're in favor of speeding." They're saying, "We're against police and other agencies taking advantage of the general public and using police tickets or speeding tickets to raise the budget." Max Creek is a prime example, and this goes back about 20 years ago. Max Creek's a little town down on Lake of the Ozarks, which has a hill coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the speed limit drops on that hill considerably. And so this little village of Max Creek was doing what Forestell is doing. They were just waiting for people to come down that hill, and they were nailing them and making huge amounts of money for the town. Legislature got tired of that. They arrested the wrong person a few too many times, and the legislature passed the law that said you cannot make more than 35% of your city budget on speeding tickets. Your people cannot live on speeders. Your people have to pay some taxes of their own. It bankrupted Max Creek. Max Creek tried to get around it. Max Creek played some games. So they, instead of arresting people for speeding, they would issue them tickets for careless driving. And the legislature got onto that pretty quick and not only jumped all over Max Creek, but made Max Creek pay back the money that they'd been getting from those new form tickets. And Max Creek only now is starting to come out of bankruptcy after all this time.
Right.
Well, Forestell is the kind of same thing. They're raising all this money from speeding tickets, and some people think that they're a little bit overdoing it. One state senator, he talked about this yesterday in the debate, and I remember this coming up before. In one of the communities in her area of St. Louis County, the cops would sit with a device that changed the light at the intersection. So that if you were coming into the intersection and the light was yellow, they would real quickly change it so it was red before, and you didn't have a chance to stop, and bang, they'd pick you up for running a red light. So that kind of behavior doesn't really help. Plus the fact John Griesheimer, the sponsor of this bill, who's from Washington, his brother, who is a truck driver, was picked up, and John says he was hassled by the Forestell police force.
Right.
And so he's had it in for Forestell all this time.
See, and that's one of the things that kind of bugs me a little
bit. That bugs me too.
I heard a cut that you had from Senate debate, and we have a senator who is aggravated at a community because his brother got, quote-unquote, hassled.
Yep.
And then he was talking to, I think it was Senator Day, said, well, I agree with this because I've gotten so many speeding tickets. And I'm thinking now, wait a minute, Ed, how much of a personal feeling is in here and how much actual state policy?
Yeah, her point was no community ought to be able to make more than 35% of its budget.
But she talked about her speeding tickets. I'm like, I don't think we elect people to get in there
and avenge their brother's ticket.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe they need so many cops in Forestell because so many people are speeding.
Well, it's right on.
Interesting way of looking at it.
For one thing, it's right on Interstate 70.
Exactly. Forestell
and you're buzzing
is on
down Interstate 70, and all of a sudden the speed limit changes on 70.
No, it says 70 all the way through Forestell.
So, but anyway, the number one speed trap rating came from the National Motorists Association.
Right.
And the National Motorists Association webpage lists speed traps in Missouri. Worst speed trap, Forestell. Dishonorable mention, Curryville, Independence, St. Charles. There's another webpage.
That's nationally?
This is the National Motorist Association. There's another webpage.
It's amazing, the sites he'll visit.
Yeah. There's another webpage.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. There's another webpage that's out there called speedtrap.org, and it has 56 pages in which they list the locations, including maps, of speed traps in the communities in Missouri.
Yeah.
And they say, for example, in DeSoto, usually two or more locals are sitting on the side of the road at the same time near the old bridge, slightly hidden until you come around the corner. Speed is 35 miles an hour. They'll get you if you do
anything over
that, whatever. And they give you maps to show where these people like to park.
See, Brent, this is an opportunity, as you see, sitting in the Senate. You have an opportunity to enjoy reading stuff like this.
Oh, I just pulled this off my computer just now.
Wow, it's amazing.
So, you know, if anybody plans to go to places like DeSoto or Manchester or Town and Country or Florissant, there are several speed traps in Florissant. And so you can go find out where you should not go 40 miles an hour.
Here's a simple way to avoid this.
Yeah.
Follow the posted speed limits.
That's right.
I haven't gotten a speeding ticket since I was 18.
That's why God invented cruise controls.
Yeah, there's a reason why they put speed limits up.
That's why they invented radar detectors.
Yeah, so anyway.
I think you probably need to talk to Steve.
I don't like to talk to Steve.
Well, I've got to go do a...
Well, get out of here.
I got to get ready for a newscast.
Oh, newscast.
And I've got a story to write.
Go. Steve Walsh, you sign. It wouldn't be a week if we didn't talk about federal stimulus money.
Oh, federal stimulus money, yes. Actually, it was a month ago that the governor, Jay Nixon, set up, along with collaboration with the legislature and so on, set up these two funds so that we could better keep track of and make sure that there's transparency for the federal stimulus dollars that come in. What he signed this week was basically codifying these things, putting it into, which basically means he has signed something that's already been in effect for some time.
Right.
So
yeah,
it is.
There's
a website you can go to.
Neat.
And the website.
It's transform.mo.gov.
.gov. Yes, you can go to that site and take a look.
What are we transforming to?
We're transforming to transparency. And you can go and have a look. So there you go. You see, that's another thing. And
we still don't know how we can spend the money.
A lot of it we don't know yet. We still don't know all the strings and how much money we're getting and stuff.
I've never been so unimpressed.
No, we're going to find out. We're going to find out eventually how we spend the money.
Unimpressed with you. Unimpressed with this whole process.
No, I know.
Why not another few billion? Be impressed with us?
Of course, you are. What?
When do we get the money?
We're getting some of it
now.
Already? Yes.
Already.
And we'll be getting it for the next, 3 years, Steve?
Yeah, I believe it's 2.5 years is what it works out to.
And as a guy who doesn't pay attention to this stuff as closely as I probably should.
Shame on you.
Exactly how do we get this money?
Well, some of it's going to go through the appropriations process, which is the budget process.
No, I mean like physically. Physically, the federal government is not...
You'll get some money. You'll see some of the money show up.
Yeah, my wife
joked
about it. She called it Obama money.
It is Obama money. I don't think you get a check per se. I think it's taking. You'll see an extra $13 or so in your paycheck.
Right.
That's just the way it's going to work.
But I mean, to the state, how is the state going to get the money?
Big
checks.
Dump trucks. I hope they don't drive through Forest El. I hear it's a dangerous
place. No, they won't.
To go.
They don't want to get stopped. But there will be checks sent out, so don't worry. That money will be coming. There is a problem here. Some of the money might be left on the table. Missouri and other states. Brent started talking about that.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, because it's a question of projects versus programs. Projects are one-time events.
We're building
a hospital. Can you give us some money? Bingo. Yeah. We got a program here to keep people. Oh, gosh, that's going to go on for the next 300 years. We can't have that.
Right.
So what is it? Do you want programs? Do you want projects? And if it comes to where the Republicans control the legislature.
Can I choose neither?
It's very likely that certainly the House, if the House has its way, it will walk away from program money. Mm-hmm. The Senate is more likely to say, well, let's see what we can take and not be tied down a year from now, 2 years from now, five years from now.
Yeah, that's the key about taking program money. You take program money, and once the federal funds for that program stop, then
we
the state taxpayers have to start paying for it.
Yeah, what do you do after that?
And heaven help us if Missourians ever have to pay more taxes.
I agree, Bob. You're right. We shouldn't pay very much taxes. We should lower our taxes.
We should pay no taxes.
We're
a low tax state.
Agreed. Guys, thanks for your time. Brent already left, so we could make fun of him.
We can say thanks to him.
Yeah, well.
Still, he left his cup here.
I'll get rid of it. You've been listening to the Missourianet Press Pass for Bob and Steve and the now absent Brent. Have a good day.